I want you to think about this story that we've just heard read. Jesus returns to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. And what do? They don't say, "Jesus, tell us how it's been for you up at rabbinic school in Jerusalem." They do not say, "Jesus, share with us from your racial, gender, cultural experiences." They do not say, "Jesus, say something to us that will pump up our self-esteem for the week." These are Jews. They hand him the book. They unwrap the scroll. They say, "Read it." These are Jews. These are the people of the book. And so he reads those beautiful words from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the captives." And there's an excited stirring in the synagogue that morning. When Jesus says, "Today these words are fulfilled in your hearing, for we are captives under the heels of Rome. At last God has heard our prayers. At last God is coming for his people. Run the Romans out and set us up in Judea." And then the trouble starts when the preacher starts to preach. Speaking of our book, I remember there were lots of hungry women in Israel in the days of the prophet Elijah during that great famine. Isn't it interesting that God's great prophet, the one who speaks God's word, fed none of these women, but went over and fed a widow in Zarephath, an outsider of a different race? And the congregation started to get quiet. Yes, and I believe there were lots of sick people in Israel during the days of the prophet Elijah. Isn't it interesting that God's prophet healed none of them, but healed Naaman, the Syrian army officer? And the once adoring congregation turned into an angry mob. And they wanted to kill the preacher because it wasn't pleasant to be assaulted by our own book. We had come that morning assuming we'd hear a word for us, only to be surprised by a God who is alive and big and working the other side of the street as well as ours. It's an intrusive word. That's why we had, as we did this Sunday morning, we had Mike Wheeler carry in the gospel in the procession. It intrudes into us. It intrudes among us. I tell you, don't come here on Sunday morning unless you have the courage to risk linguistic assault. The intrusive word. It wasn't a pleasant day that day in Nazareth, and we hated the book for it. Well, the first lesson read today is from Nehemiah, Nehemiah 8. We have been in exile in Babylon. Everything is in ruin, and we're finally back home in Jerusalem. And what do we do? Well, the first thing we do is we rebuild the temple. The first thing we rebuild is the temple, that great center of national identity. We put the temple up first, the house of God. It has to be a big building. It has to be big enough to contain God, big enough to show that we are a people worthy of the presence of God. We got the temple built. The next thing we worked on was the wall around Jerusalem. The wall is what we use to keep out the outsiders, to protect the insiders from the outsiders. The wall is how we separate them from us. The wall is how we protect what we've got, how we hold on to what we've accumulated. And during the building of the wall, and this is where today's reading begins, during the rebuilding of the wall, in the foundation of the old wall, a scroll is found. A Torah scroll. It is the scroll of the law and the prophets. It has been hidden there during the days of turmoil. It has been lost for years and years. And there at the water gate, the scroll is unrolled and they start to read. They read the words of the law, of the book. Nehemiah 8 says that the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They just wept. And so the question for this Sunday, the Sunday in Epiphany, is, did they weep tears of joy, or did they weep tears of sadness and terror? That's the question. Maybe they wept for joy. Maybe they wept for joy at being reminded, we're Jews, we're people of the Word. This book is what's holding us together. We are being formed and reformed by this Word. Maybe they wept for joy, finding out again who they were and whose they were. On the other hand, that day in Nazareth, nobody wept for joy. They wept, but they wept tears of rage, angry at the young preacher. We had all come to synagogue that morning, all in our seats, to be reminded of the eternal verities, only to be shocked by our very own book. We were enraged. Were they tears of joy, or were they tears of rage? I bet you've shared some of those tears on Sunday morning, intrusive word linguistic assault. My mentor and great theological hero, George Lindbeck, notes that the church defeated Rome in less than 300 years using none of the conventional Gentile ways of ordering society, the military, race, culture. In less than 400 years, the church defeated the greatest empire the world had ever known on the basis of nothing more substantial than God's Word, just the Word. The Word assaulted and dismantled the empire. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann has said that preaching is a matter of being a world maker. New worlds are made through words. Of course, all worlds are linguistically derived. All that there is in the world is for us mostly a matter of words. When two people stand up and say things like, I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife, a world is created that did not exist before. A world no less real because it simply came into being through words. Or someone arrives in your hospital room and says the cancer test has come back and it's negative. That's a new world too. Or just words like, I love you. There is no world until we find the words to make that world. By speech, we would be world makers. Even in Genesis 1, the Creator God speaks and worlds come into being with, let there be light, and there was light. All from the Word. John Calvin said, Scripture is the lens through which we see the world correctly. And as that great preacher Will Campbell says, word is our first offense and our last defense. All we've got is the word. Don't come down here on Sunday morning if you are not willing to be exposed to the word. The Sabbath Sunday fun begins when we bring in the book and we read it and we talk about it, this disruptive fun of word. The fun starts when we open up the book and start to tell the story. We thought we'd gotten all dressed up and we come down here to look prosperous and successful, but no. We come down here to risk assault, dislodgement, disruption. It's the world. It's the Word. What did Mary, Mother of God, say to the angel Gabriel when he told her of the baby she was to bear? Mary said, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Well, this morning, in a moment, when this liturgy is over and when the annual meeting is over, we're going to have a great feast, chili and pies. And what could be more wonderful than that? You need food if you're going to exist. You can't live without a square meal. And yet, just before telling this story read this morning in the Gospel of Luke, Luke says Jesus was once in the desert without food for 40 days. He was starving to death. He was full of hunger. And at the very depth of his hunger, Satan came to him and said, "You're hungry? I'll give you bread. Just turn these stones into bread and worship me." And Jesus, as hungry as he could be, said, "Wait." And he quoted from the Old Testament, "Hey, we don't live by bread alone. We live by the word." Amen.